Our theme tonight is it's time for some tough talk. So I've been tough on the blog. I want to get tough tonight. Part of it is my response to Ebola and the ISIS strategy. Of course, we've been drowning in Ebola and ISIS for a month on every newspaper, every headline. Magically, the Republicans win the Senate, the election is over, and voila, it's back on page 7. It very much reminds me of living through the Monica Lewinsky President Obama impeachment years in Washington in the late 90s. You were literally watching trillions of dollars being moved out of the U.S. accounts. People giving congressional testimony saying, for example, the HUD IG, $59 billion is missing from HUD. Innocent children were literally being rounded up by SWAT teams, some of them run by Eric Holder, the current attorney general, and being put into the equivalent of slave labor camps where they were making uniforms for the military. You had the housing market pump and dump beginning. The predatory lending was going off the roof, I mean, just rising tremendously. And of course, we had allegations of the CIA dealing drugs into South Central Los Angeles. Clearly, the drugs were very significantly increasing in the poor communities, all of that happening. But of course, no one wanted to look at that or talk about it. It was much easier to talk about whether or not the president lied about receiving a blowjob in the White House. And it was very frightening because you had extremely intelligent people, lawyers, regulators, very well educated. Everybody just wanted to talk about the president and the blowjob, and no one wanted to deal with what was going on. It was almost as though, you know, it had a synthetic, entertaining movie quality about it, and it was almost like a media version of watching the lions eat and destroy the Christians in the Russian and the Roman Colosseum. You know, I felt as though the world had gone mad, and I just simply decided, you know, I'm not going mad with it. And I had the advantage. I had a great church and a few very spiritually based friends who kept me grounded in the faith that if I just stayed committed to what was real, it didn't matter if I had to walk a fairly lonely pathway, you know, where I focused on what was real as opposed to what Monica Lewinsky was doing with the president. And I now feel like I'm going through a similar stage. It's just that much more aggressive. And really what we're watching is a very similar staging by Mr. Global. And it's quite astonishing, the success of it. And I think that's what is hard for people like you and me to sort of live with, is the success of the strategy. But I think it's important that we look at it. Let's go back a year or so ago. One of the most important things that happened, there was tremendous anger in the body politic about what had happened with the bailouts and the role of the Fed and the big banks and the big New York Fed member banks. They're really one and the same, two sides of the same coin. And one of the things that happened was we had Matt Taibbi sidelined. He was writing great stories that were really punching through and looking at the outrageousness of it and just completely shattering the official stories on some of the banking spin. Well, he got made a delicious offer to go start a new magazine. First Look Media hired him to do his own thing. And of course, what happened was he ended up spending the entire election period, instead of writing hard-hitting stories, being caught up in a managerial mess that went on for months. And finally, after 7 or 8 months, he departed in late October, the story being written up by Glenn Greenwald and his associates. It's up on the blog, The Inside Story of Matt Taibbi's Departure. Usually in situations like this, somebody gets hired into what turns out to be just a cluster you-know-what, and they can't go back to their old publication, and they're pretty much sidelined. We're lucky. Taibbi did return to Rolling Stone and just knocked out another great one. Terrible story for J.P. Morgan. It's called The $9 Billion Witness. We'll put it up on the blog tomorrow. But of course, this is 2 days after the election. So And in the meantime, Mr. Global has moved in. Janet Yellen is chairman of the Fed. She looks like your grandmother. If there's anybody who can protect the Fed in terms of a good look, you know, so grandmom is running the Fed and it's harder to punch grandma. But the final coup de grace really was that the big issues on the voters' minds, if you look at what was real concerns during the election, was Obamacare and the economy. But those issues really never got dealt with. Instead, we listened to the Ebola strategy and watched mysterious people behead American journalists on YouTube or on the videos on the internet. You almost wonder if that wasn't designed to win sympathy for the journalists while they were drowning us with Ebola and other concoctions. But it worked. The Republicans won. My opinion is it's likely that Ebola in Africa is a combination of some bio-warfare along with weak immune systems. It's all part of the economic warfare going on in Africa. What happened in the U.S. was entirely a media event, and it worked to send a message that Black and brown people were bringing disease and chaos to the world, and the president is worthless in trying to stop them. I put up a little commentary this week called "The Ebola Strategy Worked." Let me just read it to you. Well, so far, the Ebola strategy is working. American corporations are having their way in West Africa. Now the Republicans have taken the Senate after a death in Republican stronghold Dallas, Texas, inspired weeks of subliminal messages. Africans bring diseases. Hint, hint. This includes the current Democratic president whose father is African and keeps involving us in Africa and letting more hordes into the country. Of course, the Ebola strategy is far from over. There are, after all, inner-city neighborhoods to gentrify, and vaccine possibilities are endless. Want to drown out the real issues and sell papers? No problem. Turn up the Ebola shriek-o-meter. And there's a picture of a doll sort of integrated with a picture of a woman, or cooked up to be a photoshopped into a picture of a woman shrieking very loudly. Anyway, so what does this all mean to you? What's important is we keep supporting great local candidates. At this point, more gridlock in Washington can be expected from what happened in the elections. And what that means is more and more is happening at the state level. Though I agree with the editorial, I disagree with his policies. But Michael Bloomberg had a piece up on Bloomberg this morning saying that this meant we were all going to have to go out and get things done at the state level. I agree with that. I hate to see what Bloomberg and all these other guys are spending to try and get the things done at the state level that we don't want to see have happen, particularly his initiative on gun control. We're going to be working on an article on crowdfunding. We're seeing more and more states proceed with crowdfunding rules as the SEC does not move forward with the crowdfunding rules. So I agree with Bloomberg, though. The shift is to get things done is going to move to the state level, and that's why it's very important that you keep supporting, paying attention to your great local candidates, because they're the people we need in place. There's a great Saleri report in the archives called "Who's Your Sheriff?" You want to listen to it because you do want to know who your sheriff is, and you really care that you have a great sheriff, and he's listening to the concerns of the people. Under the Constitution, the sheriff's powers are supersede those of the federal government in a local place, and that can be very, very important. We need to focus on vaccine risks involved if they keep pushing the Ebola sort of hoopla. I've invited Alan Phillips to come back on. He's the attorney who maintains a website, Vaccine Rights. I recommend it to you strongly, and we'll have that interview on at the end of the month. And finally, there is always the risk of managing and trained people around you. I'm not so much worried about the Mr. Global. I'm worried about the people he gets and trained around me. So in an emergency kind of situation involving vaccines, that's something to think about, and you want to make sure you are careful about who is around you. In that vein, getting into the little history of this stuff, I put up a book review of a fairly recent book on Operation Paperclip. Operation Paperclip was the process by which the Department of Defense brought in Nazi scientists and doctors during the end of the war. And if you look at a lot of the crazy stuff going on in this country now. It's amazing how much of it sort of grew out of that group in that period, and the integration of a lot of the Nazi technologies and tactics and toolkits into the intelligence agency. Anyway, if you're interested, it's the commentary's up on the blog.